The Old Testament reading is written in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 to 8. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. And then they shall dwell in their own land. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves, and you know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our gospel lesson this evening is the sermon text for us today, the words of Jesus about the end times. As I think everybody here knows, I grew up in a place called Silicon Valley, but its real name is Santa Clara Valley. The biggest city there is called San Jose and dates back to the original settlement of the Spaniards in 1776. And there are another dozen cities in the valley, including Santa Clara, Cupertino, Sunnyvale, Palo Alto, many more. From atop the surrounding hills, you can see that Silicon Valley is filled to the brim now with houses, shopping centers, computer factories, office complexes, and here and there a few schools, parks, and churches. There is not a single farm or orchard to be seen there today. When my mom and dad moved to Santa Clara Valley from San Francisco in 1960, it was not called Silicon Valley. And actually, San Mateo was a lot more important than San Jose in those days. There was only one computer factory that I knew of in San Jose at the time, and that was IBM, and that's where my dad worked. From atop the surrounding hills, in those days, you could see that over half of the land in Santa Clara Valley was orchards. Some of those orchards were started back in the days of the Spaniards and the Mexicans. And there was just about everything you can imagine there. Plums, pears, prunes, apricots, nectarines, peaches, strawberries, cherries, almonds, walnuts, as well as vineyards, some on the ground floor and some up in the hills for wine. Food processing, canning, winemaking, and food packing were the biggest industries back then, with names like Mariani, Sunsweet, Del Monte, Almaden, and Palmasan, household names across the nation. Orchard farmers originally settled in Santa Clara Valley because the winters were temperate. Winter is also the only time that it rains. Well, what do we have? Here we are. Usually by March, my brother, sister, and I would get tired of being stuck in the house all day. And we'd ask my mother, "When is it going to stop raining, Mom? When is winter going to end? When is spring going to come? When can we go out and play outside again?" My mother, as a native Californian, would reply, "Look for the blossoms, kids. Look for the blossoms." When the spring blossoms finally did come out, usually in late March or early April, the Santa Clara Valley, you might remember that if you ever down there, was bathed in pastel colors of pink, light green, light orange, light purple, light yellow, and white. Each orchard plot, being a specific type of fruit, had a different color or maybe a different tint of a blossom. From atop the surrounding hills, it was a patchwork quilt of God's handiwork. Some books called it the most beautiful valley in the West. I don't know if that was true, but it was sure pretty, and a sure sign that spring and warm weather had arrived. In our gospel lesson this evening, Jesus told his disciples the same things that my mother told me. Watch for the blossoms, kids. Watch for the blossoms. The fruit tree that his disciples knew best was the fig, a common sight in the Mediterranean region. But he also talks about the other trees too. Listen again. Verses 29 to 31, Jesus said, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now here. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." The words, "you see and know for yourselves," means the disciples didn't have to consult with the newspaper, meteorologists, or astronomers. They didn't need to consult a published calendar. They just waited to watch the trees. When the blossoms came out, they knew that spring and soon summer had arrived. So to what was Jesus comparing the figs and those trees when they blossomed on the arrival of summer? He was comparing it to the coming of God's kingdom and his own second coming. To what was Jesus comparing the blossoming trees, that are the signs of the summer? He was comparing them to the signs that he talked about before. The signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the heaven, the seas, and the distress of the peoples of the earth. Now, this is a very interesting comparison if you read it carefully, because most of the time we think of the end of the world and Jesus' return in destructive or apocalyptic terms. But Jesus compared the signs of his coming to blossoming trees, a beautiful thing. This means that Jesus intends the signs of his coming to be comforting to believers, even though the very same signs are ominous for unbelievers. How could signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the heaven, and the seas be beautiful or comforting? Well, have you seen signs in the heavens? I think you've seen rainbows. It's a sign in the heavens, and it's beautiful. Have you ever seen an aurora? Anybody here? Well, we see maybe a few. I've never seen one. But people up north who see the shimmering colors at night say they're some of the most beautiful things on earth. Have you seen some of the pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope? It's taken color pictures of some of the most beautiful things in the universe. Planets, nebula of many types, galaxies, stars and star clusters in the Milky Way. They display God's handiwork as an artist and his love for you, because it's there for us to admire. And he expressed this at the original creation. So when Jesus returns to earth again, God the Father will again be at work as an artist and a creator. He will use clouds of ice, balls of clay, colored rocks like marbles, globs of lava, shimmering plasma, and fiery stars. The colors, patterns, and shapes will be beautiful and fantastic, like fireworks. Everybody wants to see fireworks. But it'll also be horrific to unbelievers, because then they will know that their own little world will be literally coming apart at the seams. You know, today, unbelievers scoff at Christians, at us, for our belief in Jesus' second coming. And they will, if they continue in that, they will refuse to believe that God will bring their own little world to an end. They can't believe that that'll happen. But when Jesus does return, they'll stare in unbelief and stark horror. This is the distress of nations that Jesus mentions in verse 25, and men's hearts failing with fear that he talks about in verse 26. That's talking about the unbelievers. So then what about you? Will the transformation and recreation of this earth and the heavens by God the Father horrify you? Or will it comfort you and gladden your hearts just as blossoms do in the spring? What about you? Jesus gave you important words of counsel in this regard. In verse 34, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourself. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And the day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth." Jesus' return will catch all unbelievers right in the middle of their unbelief, and they will have no chance at that point to repent or change their mind. But Jesus' return should not catch you off guard. You are believers, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You believe Jesus' words, but it is very easy to get distracted. And that's what Jesus is warning you about, distractions. Don't get distracted by a constant craving for pleasure. Don't get distracted by worries about the economy, the stock market, your job, or the countless things you do every day. Don't get distracted by arguments or grudges against your spouse, your coworkers, or family members. Don't get distracted, because all these things are going to fade away. Keep your hopes and your dreams fixed, not on this world, but on the beautiful world to come. that will be filled with fantastic sights, the angels, the saints, and Jesus, and the Godhead. Watch for the blossoms of the signs in the heavens and the seas and the earth. And when these blossoms appear, you will know that the eternal spring and summer is here. Wake, awake, for the night is almost gone. In our Savior's name, amen.